The title of my talk is called My Path. Practice, practice, and more practice. When I received the theme for this talk, which is about going forth, I asked myself, what does going forth means to me? What am I going forth from? And what am I going forth to? In Buddhist tradition, going forth is an art of renunciation, an act of renunciation. In the Southeast Asia, this often means shaving one's hair, wearing orange robe, and giving up all possessions, including one's home, to wander. I shall not be talking about going forth in the context of the tradition, renunciation. This evening, I'm going to share with you the process of my going forth. In the first part of the talk, I will share with you the state of my mind and being before I took the commitment of going forth. In the second part of the talk, I will be talking about the Bodhisattva's ideal and share with you how the experience of this practice helped me to go forth. The first time I walked through the LTC's door was in the early 90s. I came here to learn how to meditate. I was living a busy and stressful life running my own business. I wanted to have the peace and contentment I often seen on faces of monks and nuns when they're meditating, and I was intrigued. I knew that money can't buy what the nuns and monks have. My mother tried a lot of different religious practices when I was growing up. I attended Sunday school when I was young. We had an altar at home with Buddhist picture and a Kuan Yin figure at home. One of us had to remember to light up some incense for each representation twice a day. It was the only daily practice ritual we had to do. For special festival like the Hungry Ghost Festival, we burn representations of material goods like paper money, paper house, paper maids, paper TV, and of course nowadays one cannot do without paper mobile and paper laptops. We burn them for our ancestors to use in the hell realms. I'm not sure how it happened, but at some point we also had a Japanese mantra in a little cupboard. And I remember chanting the mantra from a book when I was about 10. But gave that up when I found that most adults was chanting for material things. I did not know what a spiritual life or mind is, but I did not think that was very spiritual at all. Mom went on to Sai Baba and then to some sky god. I learned to be skeptical around religious organization as I watched my mother try different religious practices. So after learning the two meditation practices, I stopped coming to the center. I also felt meditation was too still and boring for me. On hindsight, I did not have an open mind. The first time I heard a Dharma talk was when a friend invited me to join her on a summer retreat. I remember feeling very touched and inspired with the Dharma. After that retreat, I started to come to the Thursday women's class regularly for practice and talks. After 5 to 6 years of regularity, I found myself saying I could never be a Buddhist. I was struggling and did not know how to ask for help or support. Every time I thought about the 5 precepts, I knew I could not keep them. I was not prepared to give up my way of being and go forth. I was working in a dog-eat-dog environment and had very little faith in humankind. I remember my anger from feeling of betrayal when I found one of my ex-employees had gone out and got herself a store near me selling the same products. I did not have the feeling of generosity or wish her well. My thoughts were more like, all this time she was only here to learn the trade. To, well, you know, everyone has to go out and grab something for themselves, a piece of their share. On reflection, I was naive to think I could change and develop without changing my environment or giving up my way of being. I was grasping. I wanted it all. I did eventually give up my business, the dog-eat-dog environment. It was the day I caught my eyes in the mirror, my own eyes in the mirror. I saw a sad pair of eyes looking back at me. That day I realized I have been living my father's dream, which is about making money and provisions for his family. Making money was not my dream. As a sole proprietor, I was sick and tired of working alone. I decided to stop and went back to studying to retrain myself as a youth and community worker. At that point, I also stopped coming to the center. When I walked through the LBC door in the summer of 2007, again, I did not think I was coming back to be a Buddhist. I thought I was just trying to get back into a regular meditation practice to reevaluate the purpose of my life and to put it into some sort of perspective. 2006 has been a challenging year for me. A friend of mine committed suicide. His action caused me to reflect on my life. I was disilluded with the education system and with my 3-year-old affair. In December 2006, I went to India for the first time to attend a friend's wedding. I've heard of the poverty in India, the untouchable, and was told not to give money to beggars. Having worked with homeless young people in London, I had some knowledge about what homeless people have to feel and deal with while on the street. In India, one cannot avoid witnessing the overwhelming amount of homelessness people using and claiming part of the pavement as their home by using blue plastic sheets as their roof. While being stuck in the traffic, I could sometimes see 3 generations living under a plastic sheet. Some of these observations make me feel relief, blessed, and glad I was not one of them. Most of the time I was rather detached and desensitized from the suffering I was witnessing. It was like I was just looking, but not seeing. Until one day, I witnessed a child about 3 years old, walking towards the edge of the pavement by the busy road. The child squat and watched the car pass by while he or she was defecating. The encounter shocked me into seeing things as they really are. The child and the people who witnessed he or she defecating were all numb to their daily experience. I too had been ignoring all the suffering around me and in me. I remember feeling like someone had smacked me on my face and woke me up. That child stirred something in me, and I felt I had to do something. The image of that child will stay in my mind forever, and that image is the image I often use to motivate myself when I'm out and about on a fundraising appeal for Karuna Trust. Karuna means compassion. As a Buddhist charity, Karuna Trust's main aim is to put compassion into action by committing itself to human development and to challenge the ignorance and prejudice that trap people in poverty. At present, Karuna works with 35 project partners in the Southeast Asia by helping out with funds for much needed projects. This project helps marginalized communities to build the awareness and professional capacity they need to help themselves and become effective agents of change. One of the ways in which Karuna raise their funding is by recruiting volunteers to do an appeal, which involves door-to-door fundraising. The heart of a Karuna appeal is based on a Bodhisattva's ideal. In his talk, The Origin and Development of the Bodhisattva Ideal, Sangharakshita explained Bodhisattva is a Sanskrit word. Bodhi means awakening to reality, seeing the truth of reality. Sattva means living things. The Bodhisattva ideal is often expressed as a dedication and devotion to the attainment of enlightenment, not just for one's own sake, but also for the sake of all living beings. He believed this practice put us right into the heart of Buddhism. So what does this practice actually mean to a door-to-door fundraiser? It is not hard to understand and remember why I signed up as a door-to-door fundraiser for Karuna Trust. But what I was not prepared was the emotional journey and the effect of the practice of the Bodhisattva ideal have on me. I had not owned a few doors when I was young, either as a market researcher or a salesperson. Hence, door knocking was never a problem for me. For some people, knocking a stranger door can be a real fear factor. Hence, door knocking, hence their practice could be something like feel the fear factor and do it anyway. I had problems in believing that strangers who were minding their own business in their own house would open their door for me, spend a little time with me, read the Karuna booklet and give me a standing order. I had a real problem with that because I never had time for door-to-door fundraisers and I was worried I would get the same reaction. It was a relief to find that people do open their doors to fundraisers. Strangers can be sympathetic to the cause one is trying to raise funds for. Some who can afford it do sign up a standing order to financially support the cause. Sometimes people even thank you for knocking at their door because it gave them a chance to support a good cause. This is one aspect of the appeal I will always be grateful for. It helped me to restore my sense of faith in humanity. I remember one evening when it was raining cats and dogs. A gentleman opened his door and he looked with a puzzled look and he looked at me and said, "What are you doing here? Go home." It was really pissing down in Newcastle. It was horrible. So he opened the door and said, "What are you doing here? Go home." And I looked at him and I said, "That's precisely why I'm here. I do have a good home to go to, but the people that I'm fundraising for don't." Moments like this often makes me appreciate how fortunate I am to have the freedom to choose. For me, the Dharma comes to life on a Karuna appeal. Our door-knocking encounters gave us a lot of opportunity to learn, to apply and understand the importance of Buddhist practices like kind speech, skillful action, etc. For example, I remember writing 2 letters of apologies on my first appeal. In one, I wrote and apologized for my unskillful reaction to a gentleman's accusation about how we convert people we help into Buddhists. I remember having a defensive exchange with him and explore the incident with my fellow fundraisers and team leader the next day. During the exploration, it became clear to me it was important that my action would not deter the gentleman from opening his door to future fundraisers. Karuna did not get his support, but other organizations may benefit from his generosity. Hence, I wrote and apologized. In the past, I would have remained egoistic, and being right would have been more important to me than anything else. In conclusion, I am learning to understand the Bodhisattva's ideal and embody its practice. I have been learning to go forth from being materialistic, lack of faith in humanity, being skeptical about spiritual practice, ignoring suffering, and the need to be right. I should add in another one there. It's called going forth from resisting from writing and giving a talk. I am going forth to generosity, faith in people's desire to help others, engage in valuing spiritual practice, compassion, being open and less judgmental. I do this by keeping a watchful eye on myself on the moments when I get stubborn or defensive, or feel awkward and hurt, or feel resistant, as I said. Of course, some habits, assumptions, and difficult places are still hard for me to go forth from. Now I ask for help, and with the help and support from my friends and Sangha, some of these habits, assumptions, and difficult places are losing their grips on me. I value compassion, generosity, patience, skillful speech and action towards myself and towards others, and they keep me going forth. Thank you.